B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Moed Katan Daf Hey. We're going to start from the last two words at the bottom of Daf Dalad Amud Beis. U'masaknin es kilkulei hamayim shebrishus harabim v'chulu. And this takes us back to the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, that on Chol HaMoed one's allowed to fix the damaged, the kilkulei hamayim shebrishus harabim, that those reservoirs, the wells and the collections of water that the public were using to drink from, if they got ruined and they became unusable, or water couldn't flow into them, and other issues, one was allowed to fix them on Chol HaMoed, or mechatatin oison, one was allowed to clear them out. Says the Gemara, chatitoin, from the words of the Mishnah that mechatatin oison, it would seem that one is allowed to clear out the stones that have fallen into the wells and take them out on Yom Tov. However, chafira loy, but you're not actually allowed to dig these wells on Chol HaMoed. Omer Rav Yaakov, Omer Rav Yechanan, lo yishanu elo she'ein rabim tzrichim lahem. That's only true, says Rav Yechanan, if the public don't need these wells. Aval rabim tzrichim lahem, in the event that the public do need these wells, then afilu chafira mutar, you're even allowed to dig in order that the wells should be usable by the public. Asks the Gemara, v'chi rabim tzrichim lahem, mishori, is it mutter to dig these wells on Chol HaMoed, even if the public need them? V'otanya, we learned in a brisa. And we're now going to see three sources, three brisas, and there's going to seem like they are contradicting each other, because each brisa is only giving us partial information. And we're going to have to try and wade our way through these brisas to have a clear picture of what the halacha is. So what does it say in this first brisa? Choytetin boirois Shichin Umaoris, one's allowed to clear out the pits, the ditches, the caves, Shel Yochid, belonging to an individual. Ve'in Tzarech Leimah Shel Rabim, and it goes without saying that you're allowed to clear out these reservoirs of water for the public. Ve'in Choifrin Boiris, it's explicit, you're not allowed to dig Boiris Shichin Umaoris, Shel Rabim, even if they belong to the public, and it goes without saying that for an individual person, one's not allowed to dig these wells, these boiris shichin amoris. Now, the brisa doesn't tell us, are we talking about when these collections of waters are actually needed, or if they're not needed? So my love, the Gemara assumes, b'sherabim tzrichim lahem, that even when the public need it, you're only allowed to clear out these boiris shichin umaoris, but you're not allowed to dig them. And that's contrary to what Rabbi Yechanon said, that if the rabim tzrichim lahem, even chafira, even digging is allowed. Says the Gemara, no, don't assume that. B'she'ein rabim tzrichim lahem, the Brice is talking about when the public do not need them. When the public don't need them, in that case, then choytetin is mutter, but chafira is aser. That's what it would seem from this Brice. Asks the Gemara, now we're going to source number two. Dekavosoga b'yochid she'ein yochid tzorich lohem chatito mishori. If you're saying that Brice number one, in order that it should not contradict Rabbi Yechanan regarding chafira, you're saying that brisa number one is talking about when the water is not needed on Chol HaMoed by the public, then if that brisa is talking about when the water is not needed, we're going to have an issue with the first part of the brisa regarding clearing out. When it comes to clearing out these boiris, shichin umaoris, belonging to an private individual, when it's not needed on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do that? V'otanya, we learnt in brisa, this is brisa number two. Boiris shichin umaoris shel yochid, that these boiris shichin umaoris belonging to a private person, kinsin mayim letoichon, you're allowed to do whatever it takes to fix them in order that the water can collect into them, avaloi choytetin, but you're not allowed to clear them out, veloi shofin esidkem, you're not allowed to plaster over the cracks. V'shel rabim, however, when it belongs to the public, choytetin oison, you are allowed to clear them out, v'shofin esidkem, and you're allowed to plaster the cracks. So here you've got in source number two, where it says explicitly that a boir of a yochid, where choytetin is osur, loy choytetin. Well, in the first brisa it said choytetin was mutter. The only way to reconcile these two braises is by saying that the first braise that says it's mutter is talking about when rabim tzrichim lohem, and the second braise is talking about when the water is not needed. Ve'elomai, it must be b'shiyochid tzorich lohem. It must be that when the first braise that says that you're allowed to be choytetin is talking about when the water is needed. And then when it speaks about the rabim, the wells belonging to the public, it must be that the rabim are tzrichim lohem. And if the rabim are, and if it's talking about when the rabim are tzrichim lohem, and nonetheless it says in braisa number one, you're not allowed to dig, then we have our question back on Rabbi Yochanan again, where Rabbi Yochanan says that if the rabim need the water, you are allowed to dig them. So we've more or less, from the contradiction between braisa A and braisa B regarding the choytetin of these boiros sichanam oris belonging to a yochid, that in the first braisa it says it's mutter and the second braisa says it's osser, we determined that the second braisa must be talking about when the water is not needed, and the first braisa is talking about when the water is needed. Well, then we're going to have an issue now. Chafira mi shari? Chafira mi osir? If you say that the braisa number two is talking about when the rabbim, if you say, sorry, that braisa number one is talking about that the rabbim need it, then how can you say that you're not allowed to dig? Where Rabbi Yochanan said, if the rabbim need it, you are allowed to dig, but we just determined that the first braisa is talking about when the water is needed, and you're not allowed to dig. But, and this is going to contradict a braisa number three. V'otani, we learnt in braisa number three, boiros sichan u'ma'oris shel yochid, koinsin ma'im l'teichon v'choytetin oison, that boiros sichan u'ma'oris that belong to a private person, you're allowed to make sure that the water can flow into them, v'choytetin oison, and you're allowed to clear them out, avoloi shofin esidkeim, but you're not allowed to plaster the cracks, v'loi choytetin l'seichon. And these words don't really make any sense, because we just said now v'choytetin oison, you are allowed to clear them out. So many Rishonim either don't have these three words, or they say v'loy choyfrin l'soichon, you're not allowed to dig them, v'loy sodin oison basid, you're not allowed to smear them with a type of plaster, with lime, v'shel rabim. And but these boiros sichan u'ma'oris that belong to the public, choyfrin oison, you are allowed to dig them on chol hamoed, v'sodin oison basid, and you're allowed to smear them with lime. So here we have braisa number three that says explicitly that one is allowed to dig the boiros sichan u'ma'oris of the rabbim. And if you say that braisa number one that says you're not allowed to dig is talking about that the water is needed, and even then you're not allowed to, well, when would braisa number three be talking about that you are allowed to dig? So from the contradiction between braisa A, braisa one and braisa two regarding the boiros sichan u'ma'oris of a yochid, that in the first braisa it says you're allowed to be choytetin, and the second braisa says you're not allowed to be choytetin, we determine that the first braisa is talking about that you need the water. And then, but nonetheless, you're not allowed to dig, you're only allowed to clear out. But then we have a contradiction between braisa number one and braisa number three regarding digging, that in braisa number one it says you're not allowed to dig, and in braisa number three it says you are allowed to dig when the water is needed. So we have here a contradiction. Now the only way, so says the Gemara, ve'elo kashyo hach kamaisa. So now we're going to have an issue. If this third braisa says that you are allowed to dig even when the water is needed, then what's with the first braisa? That on the one hand we see the first braisa says that for an individual you're not allowed to be choytetin. Sorry, you are allowed to be choytetin. So if you are allowed to be choytetin, and if it's in order for it not to contradict the second braisa, it must be that first braisa is talking about that you need the water. But then that same braisa says that you're not allowed to dig, even though you need the water. That's going to contradict braisa number three. So when it comes to the yochid, the first part of braisa A, it must be talking about that you need the water, otherwise it will contradict braisa B. And the second half of braisa A, talking about digging, must be talking about when you don't need the water, otherwise it's going to contradict braisa 3. So now how can braisa 1 be also talking about that you need the water, and also talking about that you don't need the water? That's the question. Elokashya hakamaisa. Answers the Gemara as follows. Exactly that. We're going to now read into the braisa that the first part of the braisa that says that by a yochid you're allowed to be choytetin it's going to be talking about when you need the water. And the second part of the braisa that says that rabim, that you're not allowed to dig, is going to be talking about when you do not need the water. Let's read that into the braisa. Turitzachi, read into the braisa as follows. Choytetin boiris shel yochid. You're allowed to clear out the boiris, the pits of the private people, b'she yochid tzorich lohem, when the yochid needs it. Ve'in tzorich lohem b'she rabim. And it goes without saying that the public wells, kusher rabim tzrichim lohem, when the public need them, da'afilu chafira muta, and in that case, you're even allowed to dig, not only clear out. And all that's been spoken into the first part of that braisa. The second part of the braisa, ve'ein choifrin boire yisichinu ma'oris yarabim, you're not allowed to dig the boire yisichinu ma'oris of the public, b'she'ein rabim tzrichim lohem, that's when the public do not need the water. Ve'ein tzorich lohem abshel yochid, and it goes without saying that the private boiris sichanum oris, the chi'ein yochid tzorich lem, that when they're not needed by the individual who owns them, afile chatita nami osur. In that case, it's osur even to clear them out, as we saw in braisa number 2. And that's how the Gemara has explained all this. And now we no longer have a contradiction to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, when the rabbi matzrichim lohem, you're allowed to even do chafira, even digging, not only clearing out. Omer Vashi. Ravashi wants to bring a proof from our Mishnah to Rabbi Yochanan. Masnisin nami daika. Diktoni, we learnt in our Mishnah. Oisin kol tzorki rabim. You're allowed to do anything which is benefiting for the public. All the needs of the public. Kol, this word kol, everything. Lasui mai, what are you trying to include? Lav lasui chafira. Can we not assume it's coming to include that you're even allowed to dig the boiro sichin ma'oris if the public need them? And that would be like Rabbi Yochanan says, that when the public need the water, you're even allowed to dig them. Says the Gemara Loi. No. It could be that the word kol is telling us something else, not chafira, and then you won't have proof to Rabbi Yochanan. What would it be including? Lasuya hodetanya. To include those things mentioned in the braisa. We said in the braisa, Yoitzin, they go out on Chol HaMoed, Lekavitz Esadrochim, to clear the thorns from the streets, from the paths, Ulesakin Esarochoivois, and to fix the Rochoivois, the streets, the marketplaces, the places where the public are gathering, Ve'esa Astartois, and the market streets, Ve'lomudes HaMikvois, and to measure the Mikvois, V'chol Mikvah She'ein Ba'arboim, so any mikveh that doesn't have the needed, the required 40 so, Margilin Netoichoi, we divert into it Arboim, so the 40 so of rainwater, U'minayin Shim Lo Yotzu, and where would be a source that if they don't go out, V'osu Kol Elu, and do all these things for the sake of protecting the public, Shekol Domim Shenishbechu Sham, that if anyone who's going to get killed there, if somebody's running away, and because of the thorns on the way, he gets caught and ends up getting killed, Ma Le'aleim HaKosuv, the Posuk, is considers you Ki'ilu Heim Shoifchum. It's as if the Beis Din, who was supposed to clear the roads, they were the ones that spilt this blood. Shenemar, Talmud Leimar, this is learned from a Pasuk, V'hoya Olecho Domim. That in certain cases, when there's bloodshed, we blame those that could have avoided it. So you see, so it could be that this Mishnah that says, Kol Tzorki Rabim, is all these things mentioned here. Says the Gemara, no. Our particular Mishnah cannot, the word koil cannot mean these things. Because these things are mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah independently. So the word koil wouldn't be needed to include them. Because we said in the Mishnah, you fix the roads, v'esarchoivos, and the streets, the public gatherings, v'esamikvois, and you fix the mikvois. V'oisin kol tzorkei rabim. And besides for that, it says you do all the tzorkei rabim. So what would this be, the kol tzorkei rabim? What would that be referring to? What would it be including? Lasuye mai, lav lasuye chafira. So we're back to what we said initially, that it's coming to include that even digging these reservoirs of water would be allowed if the rabbim need them. Shema mina, we have proof from our Mishnah to Rabbi Yochanan. Continues the Gemara, Metzainim Nesakvoris. This takes us back to the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, that on Chol HaMoed one's allowed to mark the kvoris, the tombs, the graves, when somebody's buried, then one's allowed to mark them on Chol HaMoed, because if Kohanim are coming and they need to stay Toher in order to eat Truma Bataira, and if they have Truma with them, we wouldn't want them to become Tomei. And if a person steps over in a corpse, then there's a concept called Tumas Oihel, by being hovering over a mace, a dead person, then the person becomes Tommy, the Truma becomes Tommy, and we'd want to avoid that. So in order that people shouldn't by mistake go over a kever, we mark them, and then people will be aware, the kernim or the people who need to stay toyer will be aware, don't pass on this point, because under this particular point there's somebody buried. Omer Reb Shimon ben Pazi, says Reb Shimon ben Pazi, remez letzion kvoris min ha-Torah minayin. Where do we find a hint in the Torah to this concept of marking the graves? And the Gemara is actually going to have 9 sources. The first one is Reb Shimon ben Pazi, Talmud Lema, which says in the Pasuk, v'ro'o etzem odom, uvono etzloi tzion, that when you see a bone of a person, which means that when you're aware that there's a body buried in this place, then ubono etzloi tzion, you should build on it a sign to tell people that there's a tomah here. Omele Ravina Leravashi, Homikame Delese Yecheskel, that pasuk is in Yecheskel. But before Yecheskel came along and wrote this, Man Omar, was it not written in the Torah? Where was it written before Yecheskel wrote it in Yecheskel? So Ravashi answered to Ravina, Oletameich, according to you, that anything written in Yecheskel, you're going to ask such a question, where was it written in the Torah? I'm going to ask you also a question. Had Omar of Chizda. Rav Chizda said that Dovozeh mitoyras Moshe Rabbeinu lo ilamadnu, we didn't find explicit mention to the following halacha in the Chumash, midivrei Yecheskel ben Buzi ilamadnu, but it's written in the Sefer of Yecheskel ben Buzi. What's this halacha? That the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, kol ben nechor, or erel leiv, ve'erel bosor, lo yovel mikdoshi. This is talking about somebody who hasn't had bris milah, or somebody who serves avodah zarah, that he's not allowed to serve in the Beis Hamikdash. That's written in Yecheskel, but mikame deleisa Yecheskel man omer. Before Yecheskel wrote it, how did we know this? It's not written in the Chumash anywhere. Eloi must be. Gemara Gemiri Law, they always knew it. They had a tradition from Moshe Mitzrayim that about that halacha. That somebody who hasn't done bris milah or somebody who's served avodah zarah cannot serve in the Beis Hamikdash. V'asi Yecheskel v'asmucha akro, and Yecheskel just supported that tradition with the words in Yecheskel. Hochanami, so too regarding the halacha here of putting a sign, a mark on a grave. Gemara Gemiri Law, they knew it from a tradition. V'asi Yecheskel v'asmucha akro, and Yecheskel merely supported it on a pasuk. So that was source number 1. From the pasuk that says, V'ro etzem odom ubono etzloi tzion. Rebavo Omar, source number 2, mehacha from a different pasuk. The pasuk in the Chumash says, V'atzorua ashaboya nega begod of you, prumim v'roisho ye parua, v'al sofom ya'ate, v'tomei tomei yikro. That, what does that mean? That the Metzera, who's Tommy, cries out to people and says, don't come near me, I'm Tommy. Tuma kairiloi. The Tuma, the source of Tuma itself, cries out and calls out and says, Proish, keep away from me. And the same will be here, even though there it's talking about a Metzera, but the Kontra Bavo, this alludes to this hint to this concept that when you've got a grave, then the grave should call out to people and say, don't come near me. How is the grave going to do that? By marking it. V'chein omer Rabbi Uziel, Barbareid Rabbi Uziel, Rabba. Rabbi Uziel, the grandson of Rabbi Uziel the Great, Tuma koira loivo imeresli proish, that the Tuma should call out and say, stay away. Asks the Gemara, V'hai lahochi uda'osa? Is that how you're learning, what you're learning out from the words of Tomei Tomei Yikro of a Metzera? Hahumi boile likiditanya. Do we not need it for the Braisa that says V'tomei Tomei Yikro, that tzorich lo'idia tzari l'rabim, that the reason that he tells people that he's Tomei, in order that V'rabim evakshim olav rachmim, in order that they should daven for him, that he should become healed from his tzaras, not in order to tell us that a Tomei, something Tomei should keep people away from him. Says the Gemara, Im kein lichtoiv v'tomei yikro. If it would just be like that second brisa, it would be sufficient to say in the pasuk v'tomei yikro, that the tomei person will call out. My v'tomei tomei. Why does it have to say v'tomei tomei yikro twice? The word tomei shomis minotarati. From this extra word, we learn both things. Number one, that the Metzora tells people daven for me. Number two, the Metzora tells people stay away from me. And Since one of these words are telling us that the Metzora says, stay away from me, it's also teaching us that the grave should tell people, stay away, and we do that by marking the graves. Abaya Omar Mehocha. This is source number 3 from a pasuk v'lifnei iver l'sitein michshel, to not put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. And if you don't mark the graves, somebody will go over them, and by the time he realizes, it will be too late, and he will have become tomei, or the trauma will have become tomei. And therefore, we, in good time, we mark the grave, and that way, nobody who needs to stay toher will hover over the grave. That was source number 4 of Papa Omar. Source number 5, that it says in the Pasuk, in Yeshaya, Va'omar soilu soilu, pave, salu, soilu soilu, panu derech, clear away the roads. Which means that we want to make space, we want to allow the roads to be comfortably passable. How do we do that? Any graves that are there are marked in advance that people shouldn't stumble upon them. Rav Chinah no Omar. Rav Chinah brings a fifth source, which is actually the same pasuk, but not from the words of soilu soilu panu dorech, rather from the next words, harimu michshel miderech ami, remove the stumbling block from the way of my people. Rabbi Yeshua Breider of Idi Omar, source number 6, that it says in the pasuk, v'hoidat olohem es haderech yelchu bo, that you should tell the people the way that they can go, the paths they can go on. How are you going to tell people which path you can and can't go on? By marking those that have graves in them. Marzutra Omar, a seventh source, the pasuk says, v'hizartem es b'nei Yisrael mitumosom, you should separate Klal Yisrael from their sources of tumah. So you see that you should make sure that nobody should get too close to the tumah. Source number 8, Rav Ashi Omar, that the pasuk says, ushmartem es mishmarti, that you should make a protection, a double protection, asum mishmeres l'mishmarti, make sure that you're protecting anyone who has truma, that the truma should not chas v'shalom become tomei. Ravina Omar, the ninth and final source, is from a pasuk that says, zoyveach toido yechabdonini in Tehillim, v'som derech, and one who sets the ways, erenu b'yesha elikim, I will show them with the redemption of Hashem. So you see, there's a concept of som derech, which means somebody who sets the paths. How do you set a path? By marking the places that Torah people should not go to. Continues the Gemara, Omri Bishua ben Levi. And this is a continuation on just a different limud, something else we learn from that same pasuk. That that Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, "Kol hashom or choisov, anyone who evaluates his ways, his conduct, he will merit seeing the salvation of Hashem, the redemption from Hashem." Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk we just mentioned, "Vesom derech," and the word "vesom derech" means somebody who sets the paths. But al tikri vesom, don't read it vesom. Elo v'shom, read it v'shom, as in to evaluate. V'shom derech, that somebody who evaluates his ways, erenu b'yesh elukim. Rabbi Yana have le'ahu talmido. Rabbi Yana had this talmid, d'chol yoyim mehave makshile, and every day in the shir, this talmid had no issue challenging his Rebbe, Rabbi Yana. B'shabse d'rigla, but the Shabbos of the Yomim Toivim, where lots of people would be in the shul, and they would, the Rabbi Yana would give his drasha in the halachas of the Yom Tov. This Talmud didn't ask any questions, didn't challenge him, because he was afraid that, you know, if I'm going to ask him a question in public, and lots of people are going to be here, in case Rabbi Yana can't answer my question, he'll be embarrassed. And therefore, I'm not asking the question. Kori Olei, and Rabbi Yana said about this Talmud, V'som derech erenu b'yesha elukim. This is a Talmud who was evaluating his ways. He knew when to ask, when not to ask, and that Talmud will merit seeing b'yesha elukim. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. We learned in the Braisa, Ein mitzaynin loy al kezayis min ames. A kezayis, if you just have the olive size of a human corpse, of flesh, then we don't need to, even though you know that there's buried in this spot a kezayis of a mace, then you don't need to mark it. V'loy al etzem kesoira, neither do you need to mark an etzem kesoira, if it's buried here a bone which is the size of a barley grain, then an etzem kasaira, even though there's tumah if you touch it, if you move it, but if you just hover over it, there's no tumah. V'lo al davar she'eino metameh bo'ohel, or anything which is not included in those tumas that have tumas oihel, that hovering over them will not make the person tummy, then you do not need to mark them because they're buried, so they're not going to come to be touched or moved. The worst that will happen is somebody will hover over them. But if these things are not metameh bo'ohel, there's no need to mark them. Aval metzainin ala shedra, however, if there's a whole spine that is buried there, or of ala gulgoyles, or a whole skull, or al ra'iv binyan, most of the structure of the skeletal structure of a person, val ra'iv minyan, or if you just have most of the bones of the structure of minyan hames, then on all those you do need to mark, because on all of those there is tumas oihel. Ve'ein metzainin alavados, and it's not necessary to mark those places where everybody knows that there's a grave here. If everybody knows, there's no need to mark it. Certainly not on Chol HaMoed, where you shouldn't be doing work that's not necessary. Avul metzainin ala sveikis, but when it's not clear, when there's reason to doubt where and if there's tumah, then in order to clarify the doubts, one's allowed to mark those places on Chol HaMoed. What sort of sveikus are we talking about? Schochos, those branches that are acting as canopies, which are on the outskirts, just at the edge of the graveyard. And because it's a secluded place, people would sometimes bury the corpses there. And if you don't know about it, then it's not in the Beis HaKvaros, it's outside the Beis HaKvaros. If you don't know about it, you'll come to go over the grave, and therefore you can mark it. And the same applies to prois, to these protrusions from a wall, also a secluded place where it's not 100% clear that someone's buried there, but somebody could be buried there, and if somebody is buried there, you have to mark it. Ubeis HaPras, and a field which is called a Beis HaPras, which generally means a field that had graves in it, but it was ploughed up, the plough went through them, and therefore we assume that there isn't a whole corpse in any one place in the field, and therefore... And this Beis HaPras, we'll soon see the more details about this, but it's a sophic, because the status of this Beis HaPras is a sophic, and therefore you have to mark it. And we'll soon see in the Gemara what that means. Ve'ein ma'midin tziun b'mokim tumah. In most cases, especially where there isn't a tombstone that's raised, but it's just flush with the ground, and you cannot see where somebody would be buried, and therefore you don't put the marking exactly on top of the place where the corpse is buried, because if you put it exactly on top of it, by the time you've realized it, you're on it, and then it's too late, you're already tummy. So therefore you put it just a fraction beyond the tumah, around the tumah, and that way as you get to this mark, then even though you're on this mark, you'll realize that just beyond the mark there's a grave, and you won't hover over the grave. Shalil hafsid esatayrus, because if you're going to put the marking on the grave, by the time you've realized it's too late, and the tohir truma will have become tummy. Ve'ein marchikin tzion mimokim tuma, and on the same token, you should not make the marking too far away from the corpse. Shalil hafsid eretz yisrael, in order to minimize the amount of eretz yisrael that has the status of tuma, and that people should be able to go in as much of eretz yisrael as possible, just a fraction away from the tuma. That's where you should circle the tuma with these markings. Says the Gemara that we just saw now in the Braisa, that the rule is that anything that doesn't have tumas oihel doesn't need to be marked. And one of those things that the Braisa said is you don't need to mark kezayis min ames if there's a kezayis of flesh of a corpse. Asks the Gemara, kezayis min ames einem metameh bo'ohel? If you hover over kezayis of a dead person, even though you don't touch it and you don't move it, it's just buried underground, but you hover over it, then v'hatanya, we learnt in a Braisa, eilu shemetamin bo'ohel kezayis min ames, that one of the things that do have tumas oihel is kezayis min ames. So why would you not mark a kezayis of a mace? Answers the Gemara, Omer of Papa, Hocha pekazayis mutzumtzum askinon. Of course, if you have a large piece of the flesh of a person, you have to mark it. We're talking here about where exactly a kazayis. And it won't take a lot of time until the kazayis is going to decay and it will be less than a kazayis. And once it's less than a kazayis, there will not be any tumas oihel. And so for this little bit of time, from when it goes from the size of a kazayis, and exactly a kazayis, to a drop less than a kazayis, that little bit of time, it's true, if somebody were to hover over it, there would be tumah, but for that little bit of time, we're not going to mark the graves. And the Gemara explains, the soif soif, michsar chosar, because ultimately the kazayis will become smaller than the size of a kazayis. And mutav yisrufu olav truma v'kotchim lefi shah, with rather that momentarily, until this kazayis loses the size of a kazayis by a fraction, then, and indeed until that happens, anyone who goes over this place and notices that somebody buried there, then the tuma and the truma and the kotchim will become tummy and have to be burnt. But because we're not marking it, at least what we've gained is that in the long term, in the future, that we will not be burning truma and kotchim. Because if you do mark it, then any kohen who by mistake goes over it, or any truma or kotchim that by mistake goes over the marked place, they'll assume that there's tuma here. And really, in the long term, there's no tuma here because it was just a kazayis to start with, and it's surely less than a kazayis by then. In order to avoid the long term of burning truma and kotchim unnecessarily, they took the risk of momentarily truma and kotchim being burnt. Continues the Gemara, going back to the Braisa, Ve'edu in asfeikis, what are the doubtful places, those places that because there's a doubt, you have to mark them? Schochis, which are these canopies, these branches, uprois, and these protrusions from the wall, and the Braisa also mentioned the base hapras. Schochi, says the Gemara, what is that? Ilon hamesach ala oret, it's the branches of a tree that is over the land, and because it's a secluded place, they will typically bury people there, but because it's not in the Beis HaKvaros, if you don't mark them, people won't know. Prois, which are these protrusions, is avonim prois, these stones that are protruding, hayotis min hageder, that are protruding from a wall, and because the stone's protruding there, it's a secluded place, and people may have buried somebody under them, and therefore you have to know if there's a dead person there. Beis HaPras, what's this Beis HaPras, which is a sophic, and you have to mark it, in order that anyone toher wouldn't go there? Kedetnan, we learnt in the Mishnah, hachirish es hakever, if there was a grave here, and then the plow came and plowed up, you're not allowed to plow up a grave, but for good or bad reasons, with good or bad intentions, this grave got dug up now. Harehu oisa beis hapras. Then this field is now considered, because the earth with the grave has all been churned up, the whole field is considered a beis hapras. V'kamahu oisa. How far do we assume has the status, what distance has the status of a beis hapras? Mloi mane, it's a whole row of meo amo, which is 100 amo. So 100 amos of this field where this grave was plowed up has the status of a beis hapras, and it has a beis hapras, you have to mark it. So people who are going through it will be aware that it's a beis hapras. Continues the Gemara, that we saw before that one of the sfeikos that you need to mark with, even on Chol HaMoed, the graves that we're talking about is this Beis HaPras. We just now said, what is a Beis HaPras? A Beis HaPras is where you've got a grave that the bones in it have probably been crushed by the plow and been scattered all over the place. That is the Beis HaPras, asks the Gemara. Ubeis HaPras mi metami bo'ehel? A Beis HaPras, once we assume that the grave has been scattered, then, and it's considered a Beis HaPras, then is there any Tumas Oihel? Then we assume that there's no parts, there's no single pieces of this body, of the corpse that was buried, that was still in one place, and therefore there's no issue of Tumas Oihel. And if there's no issue of Tumas Oihel, we said before, only where there's a problem of Tumas Oihel do we have to mark the graves. And Beis HaPras doesn't have Tumas Oihel. V'ha'omer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, did Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel not say that how are we supposed to deal with such a Beis HaPras, a field that had a grave in it, and the plow scattered the earth from the grave, And there may be small parts of the corpse still lying around on top of the ground. And if you touched them or moved them, then you'd become Tomei. So what would you do? So Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel says, Menapeach Odom Beis HaPras. If somebody has to go and he's on an urgent journey to bring the Korban Pesach to do a mitzvah, he can't delay, and he's a Kohen and he has to go through this Beis HaPras, what should he do? He is Menapeach, he's got a blow. He blows at the ground in front of him as he's walking forward, Menapeach Odom Beis HaPras, and he can go through it. And we assume that any of those pieces that are still large enough, which is more than the size of a barley, that would make a person Tomei if he touches it or moves it, are going to get blown to the side and he can walk through. And we're obviously not concerned of Tumas Oihel, because for Oihel, it wouldn't help to blow the bones that are on the surface away. Oihel would be a problem even if it's buried underneath the surface. Rav Yehuda Bar Ami Mishmei Du'ula Omar Beis HaPras Shenideish Tohir, a type of Beis HaPras which has been well trampled and walked upon by others is already Tohir. We assume there's no more little pieces of the corpse, of the bones that are lying on the ground that are going to be touched or moved by the person walking through, and then he can just assume the field is Tohir. But either way, we clearly don't assume that there's anything still buried underground that could cause Tumas Oihel. And if there's no Tumas Oihel, why would we have to mark it? Why is it included in what we said before that Metzainin ala Sfeikos, and one of them is the Beis HaPras? Omer Rav Papa said it's not a question, because there's actually two types of Beis HaPras, two different fields that both have the status of, or both have the title of Beis HaPras, and one of them indeed has an issue of Tumas Oihel, the other one doesn't. Kan besodeh she'ibed boy ibed bo kever, a field that we know that there was definitely a grave in there, we just don't remember where the grave is. There, it's not an issue of blowing the bones because there's nothing ploughed there. It's just a field with a lost grave in it. There, indeed, there would be an issue of Tumas Oihel because you don't know where the grave is, and anywhere that you're going to go in that field, you may hover over the grave and become Tomei. Kan, and that's the field that you need to mark. However, kan besodeh shenechrash bo kever. However, the other type of Beis HaPras, the field where the grave has actually been ploughed up, there indeed there's no Tumas Oihel, and there would be no necessity to mark that grave. Says the Gemara, besodeh shenechrash bo kever. This type of field that we're talking about here, that the grave inside of it has become ploughed up, Beis HaPras Karila? You're calling it a Beis HaPras? It has the status of a Beis HaPras? Says the Gemara in, yes. Votnan, indeed we see in the Mishnah, Shloisha Beis HaPras Hein. There are three different types of Beis HaPras. There's the Sodeh Shenevad Bokever. There's the field where the grave has got lost in it. We don't know exactly where in the field the grave is. That's one of them. Vesodeh Shenechrash Bokever. The other one is, as we mentioned, the field which has been, the grave in it has been ploughed up. And there's a third one, Vesdei Boichin. Vesdei Boichin is a field where they would cry, and we'll soon see in a moment what that is. And in that field also, it's considered a Beis HaPras. There is some doubt as to the status of that field, as to how pure, how tohir it is. Maestei Boichin, what is this crying field? Rabbi Shua Bar Abba Mishmei Du'ula Omar, Sodeh Shemaftirin Bo Meisim. When those groups of people that would bring the corpse to one place and they would be taken over by the next group of people, and there, typically in that place, is where they would do the final preparations before the burial, and they would take leave of the dead people in that field. And sometimes, because the corpses had traveled a long way to get to that place, had been brought from a long distance, sometimes there's one of the limbs of the corpse just drops there and falls down, and nobody's going to take care of it. The first group of people relies on the second group, and the second group relies on the first group, and nobody's taking full responsibility. And we don't know if in such a field there may be little remnants of that may have fallen from a corpse lying in the field. V'tamamai, why is this field called a Beis HaPras? Omar Avimi Mishum Yush, because of the abandonment, Yush Bailim Nogubo, because the people who brought the corpse, they've abandoned it and nobody has taken responsibility to make sure that there were no remnants remaining in the field. Says the Gemara, V'soda shenechrash bo kever. We just now determined, as Rav Papa said, that a field that was ploughed up, indeed there's no tumas oyel. And if there's no tumas oyel, you don't need to mark that field. So the Gemara is saying, V'soda shenechrash bo kever loy bo yetzion v'otanya. Did we not learn in the Braisa? And we're going to see in this Braisa that they would mark even a field that had been ploughed up. And we said that a ploughed up field doesn't have tumas oyhel, and then the question would come back, why did they mark it? What did we see in the Braisa? Motzo sode mitzuyenes. If you found a field that had been marked, around the field, the outskirts of the field, there was a marking, which tells us this is a beis hapras, and if you need to be tohir, or if you have kochim or truma, don't go into this field. Ve'en yodea ma'ativo. And we don't know, what is the issue in this field? Is the issue with this field that there's a grave that got lost there? Or is the issue of this field that we don't know if the grave got ploughed up? And if it got ploughed up, then we don't know where, you know, that is one of the beis hapraases we mentioned. So if you have this field that's marked and you don't know if it's a field that is nevad bokever or nechrash bokever, then as follows. Yesh bo ilonis, if there are trees in that field, biyadua shenechrash bokever, then you can assume that the issue of this field is that it got ploughed up. How did the trees get there? We assume that if there's trees there, it must be that after the body got buried in the field, it got ploughed up and they planted trees there. Ain bo ilonis. However, if there's no trees there, biyadua shabat bo ba kever, then you can assume that it's never been ploughed, and you assume that the reason it's being marked as a field with a problem in it is because there's a grave there that's got lost. We don't know exactly where it is. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Achi hei sham zokin a talmid," that you can only assume that the field had been ploughed and it doesn't have the status of a field with a lost grave in it, only if there's an elder or a sage or a Talmud Chacham that can determine that. Because not everybody is proficiently versed in what's happened to the field and all the halachas, and people don't care enough to follow what's going on in these fields, and therefore only if a sage, an elder, or Talmud Chacham is going to determine that this field had been ploughed, only then you can assume that it's ploughed. But either way, we see here that this field is marked, and we're debating whether it's a ploughed up field. We said before that a ploughed up field doesn't have tumas oyel and doesn't have to be marked. Answers the Gemara Omer of Papa, Kitanya hi, that field that is being marked is besodesh ovad bo kever. It started off as a field that we didn't know where the grave was. The grave had got lost. So with the position of the grave is lost. We don't know where. The tzainua, and therefore they marked this field as saying, don't go into this field. There is tumas oyhel there. Then yesh bo ilonis. If, however, you see trees in this field, biyadua shenechrash bo kever, you can assume that after this field was marked, then it got ploughed up, and now it has the status of a field where the grave, wherever it was, had been ploughed up. Ein bo ilonis. However, if there's no trees growing there, biyadua shovad bo kever, then you assume that it still has the status of a grave, a proper grave that's in that field, and we just don't know where it is. Asks the Gemara, the Veleichesh Dilma Ilonois Migavoi, Vekever Mibroi. Why don't you assume that even though you see trees in the field, maybe where the trees were, indeed they got ploughed up, and it doesn't have the severe status of the field She'ovad bo kever, which there would be an issue of Tumas Oyhel, but maybe the grave is Vekever Mibroi. The cave is outside of where the trees were, and maybe where the graves are, maybe where the grave is has not been ploughed up. Answers the Gemara, Kedo Omar Ula. Because as we saw elsewhere in the Dorim, where there's a concept of Bo'in Demala Gvulim, where we speak about there a field where the trees on the outskirts of the field, Hochanami Sotu here, Bo'im Dinala Gvulim, we're talking about where the trees are on the boundaries of the field, and therefore it's not as if the trees are in the middle of the field and the whole field had been marked and maybe only the middle got ploughed up, but around where the trees are, within the boundaries of the field, which has been marked, is the corpse which is lost. No, there's trees all the way around the outside and there are the boundaries of this field, and we assume that the whole field got And we can therefore, there's no area between the marking and the trees where this grave could have been left intact. Asks the Gemara of Adilma, Tumma mi gavoi vi lonois mi baroi. Maybe they only ploughed the outside of the fields where the trees are, and the corpse is actually in the middle. There's a circle of trees, and in the middle of it, maybe there's the corpse there. Maybe they didn't plough that area in the middle of the field, and if they didn't plough it, then the area in the middle of the field has the more severe status of a field with a lost grave, not a field that's just been ploughed up. So how can you say that if there's trees there, you know that it's been ploughed up? Maybe not. Answers the Gemara, b'musuvachin. We're talking about that the trees are not just in the middle and not just on the outskirts, they're all over the place. They're intertwined and there's trees all over. Which means if you see a field with that many trees, the entire field must have been ploughed up, and therefore it's comfortable to assume that the entire field has the status of a ploughed up field, not a field with a lost grave. That would be one answer. V'iboyseim, another answer. Ha'omron. Ein marchikin tzion mimokim tuma shaloi lehafsid es eretz yisrael. Since the markings around the trees, around the field, this mark, telling us about this field is a problematic field, is right near the trees, it must be that the problem with the tuma is just where the trees are. Because if the corpse would have been buried further inside the field, then they wouldn't have made the sign, the mark, right on the outsides of the field. And since right on the outside of the field, on the boundaries of the field, is where these markings were, we assume that the person was buried towards the outside of the field. And since it's towards the outside of the field, we have no reason to believe that in the middle of the field there was ever a corpse buried there. And Rashi explains that even though we don't know where this body was buried, but since the marking was right on the outskirts of the field, it means there was definitely a chance that it was buried towards the outskirts. If they knew it was definitely further in the field, then they wouldn't have marked the field all the way on its boundaries. And since there was a chance that there was a grave even on the outer, on the edges of the field, and nonetheless, we're going back to the answer of the Gemara that there's trees around the edge of the field, this person who ever ploughed up this field didn't care about the grave and ploughed even within the boundaries of this markings, we assume that he wouldn't care if there was a grave even in the middle of the field, and therefore we assume that he ploughed up the entire field, and therefore if you see trees on the outskirts of the field and within the boundaries of the field, and you see the markings on going around the field, if there's trees there, we assume that the whole field has the status of a ploughed up field and not the status of a field with a corpse that we don't know where it's buried. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Atri Hesham Zokin Talmud Lefi She'ein HaKol Bekiyim B'Dovar. We saw before that in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can't rely on the fact that there's trees there to tell us that the field had been ploughed up, and you can only assume that it's been ploughed up if a sage, an elder, or a Talmud Chacham determined that. Omar Abaye Shema, we know we can see from Rabbi Yehuda that Tzurver Mirabonon De'ika B'mosa, if you have a young Talmud Chacham in a city, Kol Mili D'mosa, all the halachic status of what's going on in the field, Alei Ramya, is incumbent upon him to pay attention and to be the deciding figure with those halachas. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Yehuda, Motzo Evan Mutsuyenes. If you find a stone, till now we were talking about where there was a corpse or there was a grave there, and you want to mark it. And since people are not going to see where the grave is, they're just going to walk straight over it. So you have to mark around where the corpse is buried, but not exactly on top of it, as we saw before, because if you mark exactly on top of it, by the time you see it, it's too late. However, here we're talking about there's actually a stone which is protruding above the ground, and you can actually see it from a little distance, and therefore, says Rav Yehuda, Motzo Evan Mutsuyenes, if you find a stone which has been marked, Tachteo, exactly underneath the stone, Tomei, we can assume that there's a corpse buried exactly under the stone, and the area under the stone is Tomei. Shtaim, what happens if you find two stones? near each other. Im yesh sid beinem, if you've got some lime that was poured between the two, that means there's a marking between the two stones, then beinem tomei, we assume that between these two stones is tumah, and there's a corpse buried underneath it. Im ein sid beinem, if there's no lime between the two, beinem tohir, then indeed each stone which has been marked underneath it is tomei, the area between them is not tomei. This was source number one, Rav Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Afal gav de leka chayrish, even if the area between the two stones, you can't see that it's been ploughed up. If it's been ploughed up, then even in the event that there was a corpse buried there, it's assumed that it's no longer buried there. It's just been scattered, as we saw before. So even though that you don't see any signs of anything being ploughed up between the two stones, if there's lime in between the two stones, then since it hasn't been ploughed up, it has the status of that it's tomei. However, if there's no lime in between them, even if it hasn't been ploughed up, if there's no lime there, then we assume that it is tohir. We assume there's nothing buried in the area between the two stones. Asks the Gemara of Otanya, this seems to be different to a brisa. It says in the brisa, Motzo evan achas, if you find one single stone mutsuyenes with a marking on it, tachteo tomei, we assume the area underneath it is tomei. Shtaim, if you find two stones, im yesh chayrish beneim, if the area in between the two stones has been ploughed up, then we say that it's tohir. Ve'im lav, if the area in between them has not been ploughed up, then we say that beneihem tohir, tomei. Then the area between them is tomei. So, and that means that even if it's not been ploughed up, if there's no lime in between them, then it's tomei, even though there's no lime there. Since it hasn't been ploughed up, we assume it's tomei. And this seems to be contradicting what Rav Yehuda said first. So first Rav Yehuda said that if there's no lime, provided it hasn't been dug up, then it's tohir. And the second brisa says that if it hasn't been dug up, even if there's no lime, we have to assume that it's tomei, because we assume that the area between the two stones, he's marked the two ends of where the corpse is buried, and the area in between is tomei. So what do we do with this contradiction? Omer of Papa. Rav Papa explained as follows. Hacha kesha'asid shofuch al roishehen. We're talking about a case where the lime was poured onto the stones, umarudo lekan ulekan, and there was a thinly spread amount of lime that was in between the two stones. Now we don't know, this thinly spread lime, how did it get there? Did it get there because it was put there in order to mark that it's tomei, or no? Could it be that it got there because when they ploughed the area in between, then the lime fell off the stones on either end and fell into the area in between? So that's when we say, if you see that it's been ploughed up, even though there's a thin layer of lime there, you can assume that the lime fell off the stones when the area in between was being ploughed and it's tohir. Da'emer, because we'll say that machmas chayrish hu de'ikpel, that it peeled off because of the banging and the ploughing. Ve'iloi, but if it hasn't been ploughed in between, then we assume that sid de'beina beinahu, that this thin layer of lime was actually intentionally put there to mark that area, the tomei, and the whole area between the two stones is tomei. Continues the Gemara, Omer Ba'asi, Meitzar echod metzuyan. What happens if just one side of the four sides of a field are marked? Hu tomei, the area underneath that marking is tomei. V'chol asodeh kula tohira, but the entire field is tohir. Because he wouldn't mark. We can't assume that a whole field is tomei if he only marked in one area. We assume that it's just under this area. Shnaim, if two sides of a field have been marked, hein tmeim, underneath these two markings is tomei, v'chol asodeh kula toher, and the entire field is toher. Shloisha, even if there's three sides of the field are marked, hein tmeim, underneath the markings is tomei, v'chol asodeh kula toher, and the entire field is toher. Arba, if however all four sides of a field are marked, hein toherim, then under the markings themselves is toher, v'chol asodeh kula tomeo, and the entire field is tomei. The Omar Mar ein marchikin tzion mimokim atuma shleil hafsid es eretz Yisrael. Even though the entire field has been marked, it could well be that maybe there's only tuma in the middle of that field, not right till the outskirts of the field. So why do we assume that if the field has been marked, that why do we assume that the entire field is tomei? And the answer is because ein marchikin tzion mimokim tuma shelo lehafsid es eretz Yisrael. We already saw before that we do not make a marking for tuma that is any distance from the tuma, because we're just making more place that toher people can't go to, and we don't want to do that. And therefore, we assume that if the entire field has been marked, that we assume that there's actually tumah in the entire field up until the boundaries of the field, and that's why kol asodeh kulo is tumea. That's how Rashi and Ksav Yad explains this. There are other explanations, but we'll leave it at that. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.